we want to do something, and so we go to school and get an education. In fact, I went yesterday, I went down to Mary Hardin Baylor, whatever it's called, Mary Hardin University Baylor, whatever, down at Temple, and watched my niece graduate, and she had all A's and a couple of B's, and she graduated in some science degree, and my nephew, her daddy, is about 52 or 3 or 4 years old. He told me, he said, Thurman, what Vanessa can do with numbers, with math, is just mind-boggling. Well, yeah, she's a pretty smart little girl. But if she was going to try to take her education from that college to make it in life, you know, she could fail miserably. But she's not going to take what she learned at that college. She's going to take what she learned at home and in church to rule her life. Now then, she's going to continue to seek God diligently, and then with the education she's got in the secular world, she's going to take that math, and God's going to use that little girl to do great and mighty things. And as long as she seeks God and she pleases Him, what will He do for her? He will bless her just like He did this king, right? As long as he sought the Lord. As long as the king sought the Lord, God gave him success. You know, some people think, hey, I'm doing this. This ain't God. Yeah, look at me. I went to school. I made good grades. Man, look at me. I'm somebody, huh? You ever seen somebody like that? Look at me. I mean, look, I'm somebody. Now, what usually happens to those kind of guys? They have a fall. You know, and then they don't understand why. But that guy that humbles himself in the sight of God said, well, I made good grades in school too, but I did them because I prayed and sought God diligently, and He was merciful to me, and He helped me. As long as you give Him the glory and you seek Him, he says, the king sought the Lord, God gave him success. Then he says, he declared war on the Philistines, and he broke down the walls of Gath, Jabneth, and Ashdod. Then he built new towns in the Ashdod area and in other parts of Philistia. You know, this boy, he's a go-getter for a young boy, isn't he? I mean, he's doing good. Let's see what else happens here now. Now, he's doing all these good things because he's seeking God through the prophet. God helped him not only with his wars against the Philistines, but also in his battles with the Arabs of Gur and in his wars with the Mennonites. The Mennonites paid annual tribute to him, and his fame spread even to Egypt, for he had become very powerful. Now, here's a group of people that he's so powerful, they're going to pay him to keep him off their back. So they're just going to send him money every month. Now, that's the way to get money, right? I mean, that's the way to do it. You know, have somebody send it to you, saying, woo, we want to be at peace with this guy. So if we can send him a few $10,000 bills every month or a few golden bars, hey, it's going to be worth it. We don't want to go to battle. So everything's looking good for this guy. He's doing good. Verse 9 and 10. Uzziah built fortified towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle in the wall. He also constructed forts in the wilderness. He dug many water cisterns because he kept great herds of livestock in the foothills of Judah and on the plains. He was also a man who loved the soil. He had many workers who cared for his farms and vineyards, both on the hillside and in the fertile valleys. Wow. I mean, does it pay good dividends to serve God? I mean, here this guy is seeking God, and God is blessing his socks off, isn't he? I mean, you just get a hold of what all he said there this guy's got. Now, I know men that have gone to school and spent everything they had and worked all their life trying to get this and never got it. Do you know a few of those? Yeah, I know a lot of those. But they was not putting God first. Any man that truly puts God first in everything he does, of course, God knows, he knows your heart. He knows your heart. And so if you're seeking him, he's going to bless what you put your hands to, just like he did this king. Okay, next couple of verses. Uzziah had an army of well-trained warriors ready to march into battle, unit by unit. This great army of fighting men had been mustered and organized by Jael, the secretary of the army, and his assistant. They were under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officials. 2,600 clan leaders commanded these regiments of seasoned warriors. Man, if he's got 2,600 leaders, he must have a big army. Verse 13 and 14. The army consisted of 307,500 men, all elite troops. They were prepared to assist the king against any enemy. Now, if you had a group of men like that backing you up, and you got people sending you money, hey, you got it made, right? This looks good. Uzziah provided the entire army with shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and sling stones. Now, it's amazing how that he's providing all of these things for his men. And, you know, I guess we did have a little uprising here a while back whenever our new president said he thought our fighting men should provide their own health insurance. Anybody hear about that? Can you imagine that? I mean, after all, you know, he says, I clearly heard him say the other day, you know, these men, this is a volunteer force. If they want to come in and protect their company, if they get killed, that's their problem. He's really a compassionate man, isn't he? I think he ought to be on the front line myself. I think that would really do him good, put him on the front line. You know, he's not, well, maybe, okay, we'll go some other way. If I get started talking about him, I'll probably get into sin myself here. Okay, 15 and 16, let's go old here. And he produced machines mounted on the walls of Jerusalem, designed by brilliant men to shoot arrows and hurl stones from the towers and the corners of the wall. Now, we'll have to say, Israel has come a long way since that day in weapons, haven't they? They have some of the most sophisticated machines. And of course, the other day I was reading an email and it said that the Arabs believe that Israel has over 200 atomic and nuclear bombs and even neutron bombs. But they don't want to really say that, and Israel refuses to either deny it or acknowledge it, because they said if Israel were to say we have no nuclear weapons, they know that the Arabs would attack them in full force overnight and annihilate them. So they really do know that Israel has this, and so that's what's restraining them, because they know that Israel could annihilate them in a minute. But I'm just going to tell you that we will not make it through another year without a war in Israel. You know that? The war is almost there. And so it's amazing what's happening over there. And again, it's happening because the people of Israel will not serve the living God. You know, that country is almost as bad as this one. You know, they don't believe in God over there. You know, they don't believe in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. There's a few of them, but not very many of them. So there will be war. But when he had become powerful, verse 16, it says he spread far and wide. It says after he made these arrows and hurled these stones from the towers and the corners of the wall, his fame spread far and wide, for the Lord helped him wonderfully until he became very powerful. Now, as long as you give God the glory, he'll make you powerful. But look what happens to so many young men when they get powerful. But when he had become powerful, he also became proud. And does God hate pride? Well, let's see what he did here. Which led to his downfall. So his pride, whenever somebody says, you know, man, that machine you built on that wall up yonder, look at that thing, what that thing does. I can just see this young king now saying, yeah, I'm pretty good, ain't I? Woo, just look at me, I'm somebody. Is that easy for a guy to do? When somebody starts praising you for something you've done or built or designed or whatever, it's easy to say, yeah. Thank you. Y'all know what I mean? It's easy to do that. Instead of humbling yourself and say, the Lord showed me how to do that. I got to give him all the glory and praise for this. Nobody wants to give God the glory. We want to take it ourselves, right? No, that's not the way to do it. Because here's an example of what happens. When he became powerful, he became proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord, his God, by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the altar. Now, the Levites are the only ones supposed to be able to do this, Aaron's family. But the king says, I'm Mr. King. I run the show. I do what I want to do, where I want to do it, when I want to do it. Oh, my goodness. Let's see what verse 17 says. Uzziah the high priest went in after him with eight other priests of the Lord, all brave men. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. This is the work of the priest alone, the sons of Aaron, who are set apart for this work. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have sinned. The Lord will not honor you for this." He's proud and he's the king. Now, he's probably 50, 45 or 50 year old by this time. You know, he started reigning when he was 16. He sought God. He was humble, but he got smart because God gave him knowledge and wisdom how to build machines. And of course, God has still given Israel the knowledge to build things. Do you know that we will take the most sophisticated airplane that we have and we will sell it to Israel? They'll take it apart and rebuild it and make it even more sophisticated, and it'll outfly ours. They're pretty smart, aren't they? Where does that wisdom come from? From God. Of course it does. It comes from God. He's the one that gives them this, just like he's given this King Uzziah this. But he says, they confronted the king and they told him he has sinned. The Lord God will not honor you for this. Well, let's see what he did in 19 and 20. Uzziah was furious and he refused to set down the incense burner he was holding. But as he was standing there with the priest before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy suddenly broke out on his forehead. Does it pay good dividends to sin? What was this man doing? What was his problem? What? Pride? Should we try to get that just as far from us as we can? Because if God didn't like pride back in those days, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he don't like it now, does he? Now then, do we know people that are proud and prideful? And are they sick yet? Some of them are not. But see, this king, he wasn't sick for a while either. He was well and strong, but he was serving God and putting God first. But here, all of a sudden, when this pride slipped into him, and he says, "After all, I'm the king. I run the show in this place." You ever seen anybody that you work for that says, "I'm the boss and you do what I say"? Oh, yeah. Not willing to listen to nobody. "I know more than anybody else here, and that's the way it's going to be." Well, he may know more than anybody else there, and if he wants to do it that way, that's okay, as long as he don't let pride, as long as he don't say, "I'm smart because I did this myself."
We're going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, "This Book Is Alive," in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.